Want to improve your leadership skills, achieve your business goals, or grow your ministry? Marketplace Ministry Coaching can help. I have helped countless kingdom-minded entrepreneurs and ministry professionals to unlock their full potential and achieve their goals. Sign up for coaching now and take the first step towards success. Visit MarketplaceMinistryPodcast.com/coaching to learn more. You're listening to Marketplace Ministry, a podcast for kingdom-minded entrepreneurs that examines business through a biblical lens. Your business is a calling, and when done well, brings glory and honor to God. Let's get into the show. Welcome back to Marketplace Ministry, a podcast where we are edifying and encouraging kingdom-minded entrepreneurs to glorify God in their businesses. My name is Jason Smith, and on today's show, I want to talk to you about harnessing the power of regret. You know, the topic of regret is so important, and it's often overlooked because regret is one of those things that we just don't want to think about. We don't want to think about our wrongs. We don't want to think about the things that we wished we would have done or that we should have done. We just want to live our lives and live it with no regrets. You cannot talk about the topic of regret without even mentioning the phrase, no regrets. We want to live our lives with the YOLO mentality. You only live once. And so let's get out there, do everything we possibly can to experience life in its fullness and live with no regrets. But that's not as easy as it sounds. We all have regrets, and there's many different kinds of regrets. So I want to tell you what inspired this particular show is the book, The Power of Regret, How Looking Backward Moves Us Forward by Daniel Pink. He's the author of the number one New York Times bestselling Drive. You may also know him from When, as well as To Sell is Human. Daniel Pink is a wonderful author. I love the way he thinks about things, how he approaches his topics and his research. You definitely need to get a copy of this book if you've had regrets, or you even if you feel like you've had no regrets, this book will open your eyes to seeing regret in a whole new light. As we dive into this, we need to define a few terms. We need to think about what is regret, what is remorse, what is guilt. Okay, so regret is where we feel distressed about something that we did in the past or something that we didn't do. Remorse is when we feel bad about something that we did to another person. Guilt, now, guilt's a funny emotion. Guilt is one of those things where you may not feel guilty, but you can be declared guilty, right? Because if you break the law, then you're guilty of breaking the law. You might not feel regret for it. You may not feel remorse for it. So guilt is really something that somebody else puts upon you. And we know that in the spirit, there is one person that is constantly trying to put things on us and make us appear guilty when we ought not be guilty. And of course, I'm talking about Lucifer, the son of the morning. I'm talking about the devil. He is known as our accuser, and he goes before the throne of God and he accuses the brethren day and night. And even when he's doing that to God and he's making a case against you in heaven, he is also roaming about the earth, and he will go to individual people and make a case towards you about why you should be condemned and why you are destined to be with him in hell. But we know this, according to the Bible, it says that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So we can live our lives in confidence knowing that we are not guilty of Jesus' bloodshed. We're not guilty of anything that we have done when we've sinned against God. Unless, there's always an unless. We're not guilty of those things unless we haven't accepted Jesus. If we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, his blood washes us white as snow. Our sins or our offenses are expunged from the record, and we are forgiven. And once we're forgiven, then we have access to the throne room of heaven. but it's all on us. We have a choice. You know, the same thing is true if you have been a juvenile and you committed a crime and then those records were sealed and then later expunged, you have a choice. Am I going to live in the freedom that comes from having an expunged record, or am I going to go back to doing things the wrong way? The same is true with Jesus. Once you accept him into your heart as Lord and Savior, your record is wiped clean, but now you have a choice. Am I going to live in that freedom, or am I going to go back to the things that held me in bondage to begin with? I don't want to do that. I sure hope that those of you who are listening to me don't want to do that either. So let's move on. Regret helps us with our personal growth. It can be a powerful motivator for personal growth and for self-improvement. So there's times in my life where I have had many regrets. I came to realize this through some coaching I experienced last year, that one of my biggest setbacks, one of my biggest problems in life is that I quit a lot of the things that I start. I don't know how many of you have ever experienced that, but I'm just saying for my personal life, I can count many times when I've quit. I initially went to college to be a music teacher. I had a major in music education with concentration in trombone studies, and that was what I wanted to pursue right out of high school. I wanted to be a music teacher, but shortly into my first year as a freshman in college, I quit. And then after that, I was doing sales, and I was working multiple jobs. I was living in an apartment with my roommate. I had a girlfriend at that time, and I don't remember what happened, but I ended up quitting those relationships altogether. I tried to run away from my problems, and I hid at my mom's house for a couple of weeks. Nobody knew where I was. My cell phone was shut off. It was like I was completely cut off from the world, but I quit those relationships. I made a decision that I was going to quit music altogether. And when I did that, I was like, well, what am I going to do instead of music? I have always wanted to do this. Now I don't have that. Well, that's when I went to the Army. And in the Army, I was doing great in the Army until I decided one day I wanted to go green to gold. So I quit my job as a vet tech to be able to go into green to gold. Well, as I was in green to gold, I didn't like the way that things were being operated, and so I quit green to gold. As you can see, there's a theme in my life of things that I have started and quit. I worked at a coffee shop, and then I quit to start my own business. Now, that's a good quit, but still at the same time, I quit. Then I ran my business for 12 years, and because I didn't see it having the kind of success that I expected to have, I quit. And so I continued to do this. It was a habit of mine. If you quit things, then you're a quitter, right? That's your identity. You're a quitter. But I don't want to be a quitter. I want to start projects, and I want to finish them. When I was a writer as a 10-year-old child, I was persistent. I was adamant. I would start writing a book, and I wouldn't stop writing it. I was totally engrossed in the process of writing my stories, that I sat in front of the computer screen and I kept writing and writing and writing and writing until the book was finished. Now, I want that kind of tenacity. I want to be able to take that experience that I've had in my life where I had this no-quit sense, and I want to move forward and keep going with everything that I point my life to. But what I'm getting at here is every single one of those moments where I quit offers me some regret. I could say that I regret not getting my music education degree. And today, that could be true, because I do feel that call back to being a teacher. I do feel that call to want to be a part of music. So there's a part of me that does regret that. But then there's also this idea of I quit the Army, and sometimes I have this thought come across my mind where I regret getting out of active duty when I did. But how do you deal with those regrets? You know, that's the thing I want to drive home to you right now, is how do you deal with those regrets? You deal with them because if you turn them into at leasts instead of if onlys. For example, if I said, if only I had gotten my music education degree. If only makes me feel like I'm depressed, I'm upset, my life is a mess because I didn't do that, right? But if I turn that into an at least, I may have quit music education, but at least I got to join the Army. I may have left active duty early. At least I met my wife. And today I have three boys, right? You know, when we say at least, when we refer to our regrets, it gives us hope. We reframe it in a positive light that shows us that, yeah, maybe we were going down the wrong path. Maybe the times that we quit things wasn't necessarily a choice that we made, but maybe it was us hitting the guardrails of life, that we hit the bumper, just like the bowling ball as it trails down the bowling alley and as it bounces off the bumpers. Yeah, maybe that's what it was like when we made these decisions. Maybe it wasn't so much a regret because we made that choice, but it was a choice where God was guiding us on the path in which we should go. So for me, maybe music education was not the course that God planned for my life. Maybe that was what I wanted for my life, but it wasn't what God's plan was. I can tell you that it wasn't what God's plan was, because at the time that I was pursuing it, I wasn't even a Christian. I had no saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I wasn't raised in the church. My entire life was hedonistic. My entire life, I was a heathen. I did things that felt good. I did things that satisfied me and my flesh. And I had nothing. I had no heart set on the things of God. I had no reverence for God. And it pains me to say that, because I can look back and see myself as this young teenage boy. And when I was in a music group, one time we were practicing at a Catholic school, and I got so frustrated that I started cussing in the school. Yeah, you heard that right. I was cussing in the school, and we got thrown out of the school. It wasn't even our school. We were there because my friend had a girlfriend that went to that school, and so we were over there, and we were practicing our songs while we were there, and it just so happened that I got frustrated, angry, started cussing. We got thrown out, and I was like, what's the big deal? I didn't even care. I had no reverence for God. I had no understanding of who he was and the influence in my life. I was a troubled kid. And I guess in a way, I can look back on that and say I have regret for doing that. But I can't hold myself accountable for something when I didn't have the knowledge of that. That's one of those things that got wiped away when I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. But the idea is that regret can push us in the direction of where we need to go. So I have this thought I've heard before somebody say that in order to move forward, you need to be looking through the windshield of the car. You don't want to look through the rearview mirror. If you're looking through the rearview mirror while you're trying to drive forward, you're going to get into an accident. So what you ought to be doing is keep your eyes on the road, keep moving forward, and occasionally glance back in the window. When you glance back in the window, it shows you where you've come from so that you know what obstacles to avoid as you move forward, so that you make better decisions throughout the process. So yes, you can experience personal and professional growth by glancing back at your mistakes, turning them into at leasts instead of if onlys, and just moving forward, right? So some strategies for harnessing the power of regret. This comes from Daniel Pink's book, The Power of Regret. So towards the back of the book, he has a three-step process for overcoming regret or dealing with regret. Number one is disclosure. So when we talk about disclosure, we're talking about stating what those regrets were. And I've just shared a bunch of regrets of mine with you. Now, I would encourage you to go share your regrets with someone else. And if you don't feel comfortable sharing those regrets with somebody else, then get a journal and begin to journal about your regrets. Talk about the regret. How did it make you feel in that moment? And then turn it into an at least and figure out, well, yeah, I regret doing this, but at least this happened as a result. And so now you can see that regret in a positive light and you can move forward and you don't have to hold on to it. You don't have to be stuck in your past thinking about all of the wrong that you did. No, you can move forward and have confidence knowing that you have grown because of the regrets that you've experienced. The second step in that process, according to Daniel Pink, is compassion. So compassion, this is maybe having compassion towards another person or maybe having compassion towards yourself, but it's all about having compassion towards yourself and dealing with the regret. You know, I can look back and say, yeah, I regret not completing my music education degree, but because I didn't, I've had a full life with many different experiences that I never would have had the opportunity to have had I gone down the path of music education. And it's made me a better person. And so instead of feeling bad about it, instead of looking down on myself for the regret, I can look at it through a fresh lens of a 40-year-old. The 20-year-old Jason would have been upset and regretful for all of these mistakes. But the 40-year-old Jason can say, thank you for giving me the opportunity to experience life in the way that I have. If I would have done that, we would never have had the opportunity to have this life. So thank you. And give yourself compassion. Give yourself grace. The last step in that process, that three-step process, is distance. Give yourself some distance. So what does that look like? It means give yourself a chance to get away from that event. Maybe you've disclosed it, so you've written it in your journal, or you've shared it with another person, and you've given yourself compassion. You've thanked yourself for allowing yourself to experience life in this way. Well, now, get away from it. Drive forward. Leave it in the distance. Get far away from it. And the further you get away from that regret, the less it's going to hurt. So that would be my encouragement for you today, is to reframe your regrets, to forgive yourself, and to drive on. It's okay. Everybody's got regrets. This idea that there are no regrets, it's a lie. We all regret something. Now, the trick is getting it off our chest. So I'm going to encourage you. Take this challenge. I'm going to challenge you. Take the next 7 days and write down in your journal all about your past regrets. Talk about what it made you feel like then, how you feel about it now. Give yourself some compassion, and then, depending on how long ago it was, give yourself some distance. But just get it off your chest. That's the most important thing. Once you get that out, you don't have to think about it anymore. You can just throw it away. Or if you want to, here's an exciting idea. You could even take your regrets, write them down on a piece of paper, disclose them to yourself, read them out loud, give yourself compassion, and then burn them. Just hold a ceremony where you're burning those past regrets and you're in effect saying, I'm no longer letting you have a hold on my life, but I thank you for the experience. And I thank you that I release you right now so that I can move forward to do what God has called me to do. It's powerful. You know, the Bible has a few things to say about regret. In Proverbs 28:13, it says, whoever conceals their sins does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. So that tells me that sins, whether it's bad thoughts, whether it's regrets, whether it's something that we did to somebody else, something we said, that we need to confess it. When we confess it, that's when times of refreshing come. The Bible says, it's very clear, it says, repent and times of refreshing will come. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. We want godly sorrow in our life. That's what we want. And godly sorrow is feeling sorrowful for what we've done that goes against God's word and against his children. We don't want the worldly sorrow of, I broke the law, so what? I'll pay the fine. That's not sorrow at all. And that's just going to lead you down the path of wickedness, evil, and death. Don't go that way. Go the way of the Lord. So, what do you think about this message today? Do you have some regrets that you need to get off your chest? Is there something that has been holding you back from fulfilling who God's called you to be? If so, take that time, like I suggested earlier, and write it down in your journal. Just get it off your chest. Share it with somebody. In fact, if you want to share it with me, I'd be happy to listen to your regrets. You can send me an email at marketplaceministrypodcast@gmail.com, and I'd love to hear your stories. If you just need somebody to give you a safe space to get those things off your chest that you feel like you've disclosed it, you don't have to tell me anything. I'm not a father. I'm not a priest. You cannot. The Bible really doesn't say that you have to do that, but the whole act of confessing your regrets, it does something for your soul. And so if you need a voice, you need a shoulder to lean on, I'll be there for you. And it's, once again, marketplaceministrypodcast@gmail.com. Send me an email. I'd love to hear from you. Love to hear your thoughts on this episode. Anything that we could have done better. Anything that you thought, man, that was a powerful insight. I had never seen it that way before. Just let us know. And if you'll do me a favor, head over to Apple and leave us a review, rate this podcast so it helps other people to find us and so that we're able to make an impact in more lives of kingdom entrepreneurs all over the world. I thank you for tuning in today, and until next time, I call you to prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers.
Thanks for listening to Marketplace Ministry. What did God speak to you about during today's show? Join the conversation using hashtag Marketplace Ministry on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Got a question for the show? Email us at info@marketplaceministrypodcast.com or text us at 502-833-6136. Keep seeking God first and serving his people well, and your business will prosper in Jesus' name.
Attention, all kingdom-minded entrepreneurs and ministry leaders. Are you looking to connect with like-minded believers and grow in your walk with Christ? Look no further. The Kingdom-Minded Entrepreneurs Mastermind is here to help you discover your purpose, build your faith, and impact your world for Jesus. With only 10 seats available, this exclusive group meets once a week for 90 minutes to offer hot seats and encourage one another in their journeys. Don't miss out on this opportunity to be part of a community that will support and edify you for an entire year. Sign up now for the Kingdom-Minded Entrepreneurs Mastermind and let's make a difference together. Visit marketplaceministrypodcast.com/mastermind to learn more.